everybody. Welcome to Mental Health 411. I am your host, Paloma Collins, and I am so excited to bring this guest on this week. But first, I will talk about the disclaimer. Don't forget, this is for entertainment and informational purposes only. Always seek professional help for any individual needs and services. And here we go with today's guest. Her name is Boonie. She is a life coach providing services to highly gifted and creative people, among other populations. She has knowledge of educational counseling and also gaming. This is the reason I am bringing her on today. I met Boonie, she might not remember, a couple years back at an OC Shrink event, and we got to talking and she told me her specialty. When she said, "I work with gamers," I was very interested and I wanted to talk to her more about this population. And so today I am bringing her on to talk about her services and talk about her specialty. And of course, you know, interesting people want to know how we serve gamers. Is it different? And what kind of services she provides? So Boonie, welcome to Mental Health 411.
Thank you so much.
So Boonie, let's get started. I have so many questions for you, but I just want to know, how did you get into the field of providing services to gamers? It's not something that you hear providers talk about so much. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I think it started with my grad education. I kept on finding ways to weave in the creative mind, video games, and neurodiversity into my papers. And I thought that was an interesting way to kind of add perspective onto how the creative mind or being artistic or different was seen in psychology in the first place. And so my initial goal was to just explore my identity through my work and then share it for, I guess, feedback and perspective with my colleagues or classmates in the program. And so when I started doing my traineeship and internship, I worked in the school setting, and the constant theme that I would be faced with was that the misunderstood child many times escapes and plays through video games and is their language and metaphor. And as someone who does play games, and uses games for personal growth, I connected with them immediately and was able to help kind of dissect certain misunderstandings and what a game could mean for a child.
You know, you're bringing up an interesting subject that I think I come across so many families that come into services and their children play video games, and the parents will come in and say, "I just want my child to put the game down and connect with friends and connect with people." They're highly anxious, they're angry, and it's the game. I know it's the game. And you're bringing up a topic. I think there's so much bias with gamers and misunderstanding, misconceptions. Parents, I don't believe, even providers, we don't have enough knowledge to understand what the gamers feel, or you know, how to guide them, how to guide the parents in being more understanding of their children.
Oh, yes. That's a big part of it. I remember conversations in just working with anyone who works with parents and children. The biggest part of helping a child grow and heal would be to work with the parents, right? And so when there's a misunderstanding of a child's world and culture, I consider it cultural competency to understand what gaming is. And it is different. You know, there's a lot of stigma, and it's like this gray area that is related to what you would call addiction, but it's not. It's just a behavior that elicits some type of need. You know, gaming is fulfilling a need, and I think that it can be individual based on the person in your life, the gamer in your life, and yet sometimes we have such a strong reaction to gaming because it's unfamiliar. And I think that's something that we could have a conversation about to really start alleviating the tension and the misunderstanding of what gaming is, because I understand it. Like, I wish some people, like for me, some people would wish that I were more social, or, you know, like social butterfly, or, you know, you could have been so good at weddings of design then, and being a event planner. But I fell into gaming. You know, I love online culture. I love learning about patterns in internet communities, and that's just where I lean towards. And yet some people will tell me it's embarrassing. Why don't you do something more productive? And it does hurt. And yet for me, it's funny because gaming and art, you know, I'll pair the two together, mm-hmm. because it is such a joy and entertainment, something that entertains society, and yet we will bash artists for pursuing art as a career. Mm-hmm. We'll bash gamers and kids who play games, and yet we get so much entertainment and worth from something as adults. Like, who doesn't love Netflix and streaming? You need coders for that. You need people who are on the computers for that, and yet we'll make fun of them and we'll get angry at them while they're our own children. And so there's this, you know, conflict of interest and internal stuff that we have to work on, whether do you appreciate it or you don't appreciate it, you know?
Right. And I think in every culture, that's a struggle. It's a struggle in our communities, and among so many other issues with our children. I think that internet usage and gaming is definitely top, right? And the misunderstanding again. And so what is some advice that you could give parents in helping them understand their children and becoming more supportive in that sense?
One of the big ones for understanding your child gamer is to give yourself permission to have a child that's a little different from you. It's difficult. It is. I know that some parents wish their kids were more active, you know, like, oh, I wish my kid were an athlete or, you know, that extrovert ideal. And yet, you know what? A lot of our kids now are going to be online. They're going to be playing games. A lot of them have aspirations to be TikTokers, YouTubers. They want to stream on Twitch. They have these online goals. And so for me, it's about translating what it means. And so, okay, so if your kid likes a certain game, I play Fortnite a lot, and any game really, but certain games have more archetypal purpose, I guess. Like for me, I will use games where you can pick a role and have aggression, right? So for me, I'm a sensitive person. I'm really gentle. Mm-hmm. And when I am stressed out, I'll use the game to kind of channel my frustrations with the day. Like, you know, I hate COVID. I hate having to quarantine when I don't want to. I'm going to shoot everything in and blow stuff up, you know? Like, it's a great outlet. And it's a way to channel things. And so, like, part of what we do as adults working with children is we shape their energy. We shape the way they cope with life, you know?
Yes.
If a child or a gamer is gaming a lot, let's just talk about the game itself, but also real world events that are frustrating, you know, while they're playing. Because I know a lot of therapists play board games with their kid clients, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of like a way to redirect the tension or the being forced to talk all the time. You don't have to talk to your kid all the time. It's okay to just watch them play. You know, having that, what you would call that unconditional positive regard, right? You accept
right.
them as they are. It disarms a child having to feel like, oh my God, are they going to unplug the game? Are they going to tell me to stop when I'm in the middle of a game? Am I going to get reactive? I don't know yet. But if you come and sit with your kid while they're playing, first they're going to be skeptical. Like, what is the adult in my life doing? Why are they watching me? Right?
Right.
But some things that may or may not work, I'm not guaranteeing that it's going to work, is can you show me something about your game that you like? Or something, so you would research a little bit on the side, because there's this thing called skins mm-hmm. in Fortnite. It's like different personas that you can buy or get for free, depending on what you get in the game. And I love this one girl avatar. She has purple and green hair. She has paint all over her outfit. And I kind of use her as my way of remembering what it feels like to feel colorful and happy. And my nephew, he plays all the time. We talk about the different avatars or the skins that he likes and why. You know, I just listen to him talk about, you know, it helps him feel powerful. It helps him feel strong. It helps them feel silly, when in a world right now, when you're young and there's no controller and you're not sure what the future holds, you can have an outlet to be silly while playing online. And I think it's cool. And an adult would just ask questions and like, show me more.
So there's definitely a sense of being outspoken in the game and being creative with your own personality within the game. So what you're saying is that a parent can enjoy these moments with their children instead of creating and triggering anger or anxiety. And you're so right. I have children all the time in my office telling me, you know, I'm playing a game and I'm just waiting that my mom or my dad are going to step in and just unplug. And I'm on this certain level, or I'm doing, you know, a certain thing in the game. And then all of a sudden, you know, my mom will come in and unplug me, and it triggers me. And you're right. I don't know, of all of the kids that I work with, I don't know one parent that will come in and say, oh, I sat with my child and we had this moment, like bonding time within the game time. I've never heard of it. And so that's a great point that you bring up.
Well, it's also unknown, right? It's very intangible. When we don't understand something that's like the internet and it looks like we're just wasting time online, it makes sense for parents to think that there's no merit, there's no benefit to watching their kids play, right?
Right.
But I'll always pair it with like watching TV, watching a show, you know, and I've heard many gamers say, hey, it's a little bit different than watching a sport. You're actually actively involved in the sport. You know, your child has the possibility of acting like control, being an athlete. There's this thing called esports, electronic sports, and there's teams in colleges that play for scholarships. They play against different colleges, and it is a very athletic type of mindset thing. And so for me to help parents change their mindset or perspective, you know, a little bit at a time, because this will take your baby steps and you have to adjust to seeing things that you don't understand differently, is it can be similar to a sport where you have to learn how to be persistent, because games are about winning and losing to a degree, right? Mm-hmm. If you lose, you have to have resilience to try again. If your child or your gamer is showing you that they're resilient, I think that's something to bring up. Like, hey, I saw you lost a lot the other day, but you didn't stop. Or I knew that it was getting kind of late and we had to stop yesterday, but I see you trying again today. That's called being resilient. You know, that's called, like, you don't quit. I admire that about you. Where else can you show that in your life? Like, I would really like to try for you to be more well-rounded. I want you to be successful in life. I see that you can be persistent and you don't give up in the game. You know when to stop, you know when to ask for help, you know where to find answers, because a lot of gamers are really good at Googling and YouTubing for answers, or finding where to find stuff in a game. How can you also do this in your homework? You know, I don't want to take the games away from you, but I know you're good at finding answers. I know you're good at knowing where to find stuff and trying again and then never giving up. Like, let's make this more parts of your life. Let's just try that. You know, and again, I see that, let's spread it out, and then we can come back to the games later, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So definitely finding the parallel between real life and the game, and how the child is showing that resiliency and that strength. Those are all really good just thoughts for a parent to have in terms of gaming. And now I'm just thinking right now about other situations with adults. You know, there's also relationships that are at risk because of the gamer, male, female. One interesting fact that I saw on your website as I was going through it, and I had no idea that 50% of gamers are women.
Yeah. So this is what I get online. I get the hardcore gamers arguing with me, but I don't care. I consider it gatekeeping when they think, well, you know, a lot of women play the apps and the phone games and they don't really count because they're not real games. You know what? It's a game.
Okay.
Same premise.
Right.
And it's a lot of gatekeeping and history within the world of gaming that has not allowed women to feel welcome into the culture. So while they're learning how to feel more welcome and we're developing games that are not very sexualized, mm-hmm. you know, having women feel comfortable playing games, that I think is a great indication that women do want to play. We're just not making games that allow them to feel comfortable enough to play, but it's getting better.
So there's definitely room for more games that are geared towards women. Women want them. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? Okay, there's a need.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, right now, just going through this process of so many people staying at home and so many people feeling as if they have no entertainment, nothing to do, I think this is just a great avenue to get that release of that need, right? To socialize, to connect with others, and to feel as if we're still doing fun stuff.
Totally. And right now, I've actually done it a couple times during quarantine or social isolation. Well, I'll play a game and I'll kind of quote unquote binge play it for a couple of weeks at a time, because I will have my, you know, slumps where I don't feel I'm being productive or successful. Games offer that opportunity, kind of like where you're trying a new habit and then you have to transition, right? You can't go all in because you'll burn out. You have to slowly adopt new behaviors, and then you can increase the intensity of something, right? So games can give you an installation of success and achievement. When you do an easy game, or, you know, it's a difficult game, but you can accomplish it, you feel successful, you feel accomplished. Mm-hmm. And then you can take that feeling to put in another part of your life. So I consider games a huge tool for personal growth. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. So let me now ask you a little bit about the population that you serve and gamers. And can you tell me a little bit about how did you get yourself involved in the gaming culture?
I've been playing games since I was about 4 years old. I'm 38 now, so mm-hmm. 34 years. And it's just something I felt has been an important part of my identity, and the people in gaming have always been there for me. I think that there's something about being an underdog, being stigmatized and misunderstood, that speaks a lot to me. So whatever subculture or group of people who have constantly had to defend themselves or feel like they're not important, or they get their culture kind of taken away from them but then made fun of at the same time, that is where my heart stays. Mm-hmm. And when I needed it the most in college, I had a friend commit suicide, and the gaming community was there for me to kind of cope through things and help me sort through, you know, what life had to offer, because it's a lot of big existential questions when you lose someone for unknown reasons and then you don't know what to do. But gamers tend to think like that. I think a lot of gamers are very deep in thought, very existential people, and having the permission to chat with each other when no one's judging you, I think that means a lot. You know, we have that privacy, that space without feeling judged. It's our little getaway, you know, and when we're able to feel understood, we can be our own heroes in life. And I think that when gamers do feel misunderstood, it's hard to bounce back here and there, but then again, you go back into the game and you win a couple, and then you feel like, you know, you'll be okay because you remember that there are people who are like you and they get you.
Right. It's interesting that you talk about the relationships that you built within gaming and the culture. Are these friends that you consider friends, and they've been there for you, and these have been long-term friendships?
Mm-hmm. I've been friends with them for more than a couple decades now. Wow. So I used to play World of Warcraft. That was 2004, 2005, and I used to play in a guild with lots of people. We've met friends through games, you know, and so, like, that's the scary part, but also to teach your children how to be safe and find friends online, what to look out for, how to safely share information. But, like, this gradually built over time, where we would chat, we would meet up, we would, you know, share photos of people's weddings, they would meet in the game, they'd get married.
That's right, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you ever have the chance to join a gaming group on Facebook where there's hundreds of thousands of gamers.
Wow.
You see people getting tattoos of their allegiances to different games, people naming their children after characters from video games. Like, mm-hmm. it is part of their identity and their story. And it's like the lore for a book that you loved so much that you wanted to name your child or your pet after a character because it resonated so much with you.
Right, that connection. And it just seems, everything that you are talking about, it's just these meaningful, deep friendships and relationships that you have built. And I think that a lot of parents, again, I come back to that, and even, relationships that don't understand their partner who is a gamer, their child who is a gamer, is... while they're not going to have, friendships, I really want my friend or my partner to socialize, to talk to other people. They're just stuck on the TV and stuck on the game. But you're talking about your experience and how you have built relationships and friendships with a community.
Yes, and it is the scary part of knowing how to
navigate through
kind
that.
Of just Yes, decipher, because there's so many people online now, and you have to make sure that it's the right age group of people to hang out with. One thing I recommend all the time is keeping the computer or the gaming console in the family room,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that everyone is available to see, so no secrets,
Yes.
But as your gamer does get older, they're going to want a little more privacy, and then the part is offering them that safety and trust to know that, I'm not sure what online stuff is out there, but I trust you to make the right decisions. And if you don't, we can talk about it. I won't get mad at you. I just want you to be safe.
So please definitely
always know that,
yes,
you can come back to me, right?
Open dialogue. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's how we learn. We sometimes make mistakes. Adults make mistakes. We have to be okay with admitting it and then bouncing back, because if we feel shame for doing what we're doing, we're going to start hiding. We're start going to, limiting what we share with our parents and our families about what we're doing, and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and I think that just happens in real life also. We have so many opportunities to do things that are not necessarily healthy or good for our relationships or families. And so when you're talking about that open dialogue, I think that, it's just parallel with real life. And it's important, I think that any school counselor or mental health provider will always talk to a parent about, when they have a minor in the home, to make sure that they are able to log into, for example, their minor's Instagram accounts, Facebook, have the passwords, maybe have the child connect with friends in an open area in the living room, right? Just so many different ways of creating safety for our children who do want to connect with others online. And, is there any website or anything that you can recommend for parents, coming back to that topic, with safety and gaming, that you can recommend?
Not off the top of my head, but there is this website called geektherapy.com. You'll find lots of podcasts and websites for people who are in the geek mental health community circles, mm-hmm. and I think it will help you expand your perspective on the possibilities of whatever fandoms and games that your gamers are interested in, because the metaphors change depending on whatever their interest is. It's just very complicated, and the more you dive in, the more complex it becomes, because for me, like, there's certain characters that I love over and over again,
mm-hmm.
And then you might find out the same thing is happening with the gamers or the geeks in your life. They resonate towards a certain character, and that's kind of what is speaking to them, and you can help them grow or feel seen just by honoring that.
Mm-hmm. Can you mention that website one more time, just for anyone that's listening that that needs some guidance?
Yes, it's called geektherapy.com.
Okay, great. And you think this would be a good website for parents, or is this just for providers?
It's for both. I think it's for anyone interested in learning about geek culture. We have geeks in different, facets of healing, a lot of therapists, LPCs, LPSWs, professionals who use geek culture to help people grow. They do social skills groups, they use D&D, they use video games, books, fandoms. And so if you're curious to learn more about how it's being used, that website is a great resource.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you for that. And, you know, I do want to bring up, Bunny, one of the reasons that I brought you on here is I know that you have a special event coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yes, it's a mini online summit for parents and teens called Teens and Screens. And I do talk about something similar to this conversation. We mentioned things more specifically on how to, you know, have that nurturing conversation, which is kind of scary, to connect with your teen, because teens are a different beast. Mm-hmm. There's hormones, there's a little bit of friction, there's building independence. And so there's only a couple years left before they have the choice of, like, you know, flying from the nest, because they're no longer your baby birdies.
Right, but complete autonomy. Scary.
Yes. But talking about technology is very important, and it really does include us as adults and parents in their lives to reduce our reaction to them, because we can't tell them what to do. Most of the time, I remember when you were a kid or a teen, if your adult told you what to do, sometimes you did the opposite.
Right, just because.
yep, because you need to learn your lesson on your own. So I think it's just important to be open to it, to get some skills. You know, just, again, we're planting seeds here. Change doesn't happen overnight. It's very slow, very gradual. And I think the conversations that we do have with this mini summit will help a lot of parents give themselves permission to think, hey, you know what? I'm doing a good job. Yes. It's nothing wrong with looking for a couple new skills and broadening my perspective, you know, because I do care about the child and teen in my life. It's just this balance of, okay, I'm doing great, you know, with what I know. And let's learn a little more to help my team.
Mm-hmm. When is this summit happening again?
It's October 12th to the 16th.
Okay. And where can people find information about this upcoming event?
Let me see.
Will it be on your Instagram?
I'll have to link it to you. Mm-hmm. It is on my Instagram. It's in one of the links. Okay. Or under the description.
Can you tell us what your Instagram is?
Yes. My Instagram is Organized Messes.
And your website?
It's organizedmesses.com.
Okay. And is there any other way that maybe a parent who is interested in your services can get connected with you?
I do best with email, so my email is organizedmesses@gmail.com.
Okay, great. So Instagram, Organized Messes, website, Organized Messes, and your Gmail, Organized Messes.
Yes.
Okay, so easy to remember. I will also have it up on my own Instagram, Paloma Collins. I will be posting it on our Mental Health 411 website and Instagram. And let's see, I think that is the end of our conversation. Bunny, there's just so many more questions I have for the matter of time, maybe, you know, on another conversation. But thank you so much for coming to Mental Health 411, providing us with some information about gaming and relationships, family relationships, and just so much more to learn. Again, everyone who's listening, Organized Messes, if you have any questions, thank you so much for listening. Bye. I am Paloma Collins, Mental Health 411.